Welcome to the Compliance Leadership Lounge. I'm Ross Ronan, your guide for insightful discussions in healthcare compliance. In our lounge, leaders and experts gather together to share their perspectives and wisdom. So grab a chair, make yourself comfortable, and join the conversation as we dive into the strategies and stories behind effective compliance leadership. Whether you're a CEO, board member, or a compliance enthusiast, you're in the right place to learn, grow, and lead with integrity. Thanks for joining me in the Compliance Leadership Lounge. Today's episode are the seven elements of a compliance executive. These are elements that we've developed over the years because I've been a compliance executive at the highest levels of healthcare in an organization. And it is the things that I have learned to be able to establish how to be that compliance executive and be able to talk to boards and CEOs and gain their trust. As we look at this from the standpoint of this podcast, it's really diving deep into what is required, what are these boards looking for, and what are these CEOs looking for from that executive? Are they just a management? Are they just a leader? Or are they executive level individuals? So let's talk about some statistics before we go too much into this. I find these extremely fascinating and very applicable to what we're talking about. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, that came out in May of 2022, there's over 300,000 compliance officers in the United States. That is a lot. Now, I was very specific about what I said with compliance officers. If you look at more statistics related to Zipa, which is a recruiting job site company, it's very reputable, they indicate that over 50,000 of those compliance officers are chief compliance officers. That's quite a few chief compliance officers within the realm in the United States. 31% are in the finance industry. Makes sense with all the housing markets and all the banking required to it. And 11% of those are in healthcare. So that means that over 5,000 chief compliance officers exist in the US in healthcare. What's astonishing, in my opinion, is that 31% of those have an average tenure of 1 to 2 years. That means they're not staying in their positions long enough, whether they're moving on, whether they're being terminated, whether they've chosen a different profession. Doesn't go into those details. But I have this strong feeling that individuals figure out they've either moved up the ladder and their leadership hasn't noticed that, so they become more of an executive, or they never make it and they get shipped out to do something else. That's really an important statistic. Another statistic is KPMG did a survey in 2023, and they said that 53% of most chief compliance officers said that their board is putting a tremendous amount of pressure on them to enhance their compliance program. One of the elements of a compliance program is being a chief compliance officer, or at least a compliance officer. So if boards are putting pressure on compliance programs and compliance officers to enhance their program, then that means they need to enhance themselves. And they need to enhance themselves as leaders, as compliance executives, because the boards are asking for it. Now, according to a Barker-Gilmer survey in 2022, 44% of chief compliance officers report to the chief legal officer or the general counsel. And only 42% report to the CEO. 21% of this entire survey was in healthcare. So less than half of the chief compliance officers in healthcare and in finance report to somebody other than the highest levels in the organization. More importantly, 90% of general counsels and chief legal officers report to the chief executive officer. So why the discrepancy? Why the disparity between the two? Well, maybe the general counsel and the chief legal officer have built the executive level trust with the CEO, and they can understand through their legal training and through their trials and tribulations as a lawyer to be able to raise to that level of an executive. The CEOs probably have more trust in them than they do maybe the compliance officers. And that's where we need to change. We need to bring these compliance officers up to the compliance executive level so that boards and CEOs can have a very firm trust and understanding of what they're going to bring to the table. As we look at the seven elements of a compliance executive. I want to refer back to a book that probably most of you all have read, especially if you're a CEO or you're a board member and you've been around for a long time, because it was written about 20 years ago, a little over 20 years ago, and it was written about the time where I started being a compliance officer. I wish that I had this book in front of me. I wish I had it available for me to help my development. I wish I was mature enough to be able to open it up and say, you know what, I'm not going to figure this thing out by myself. I am going to use this as a catalyst to become the compliance executive at the highest levels. Good to Great by Jim Collins. Great book, not to mention it says great. But I really enjoy reading this. I enjoy referencing it. One of the things he talks about in here is how companies went from being really good to being great, being epic, being all time, being the top of the top. And looking at the leadership that it took to make these companies from good to great. He then subsequently came out and said, hey, by the way, we were looking at, you know, CEOs and COOs and just high-level leadership of these organizations. But as we started looking into it further, there are the highest level leaders at all kinds of different areas, whether it's in the military, whether it's sports teams, whether it's just a middle level management, but really functions at the very highest level. There's all kinds of different people who can make their leaders from good to great. He talks about not even doing a section on leadership, which is really important because that is one of the most resonating pieces of this book, in my opinion, is when he talks about this hierarchy of leaders within an organization. And as he pronounces in this book, and I do listen to Audible and I also read the book, what he really talks about is these are survey results. They talked to people, they looked at performance metrics, they looked at company metrics that took a company from one level to the next, and what characteristics did they have that actually made them the highest level. He doesn't talk about how. He doesn't talk about how to do it. He talks about what it is. And I think that's the most important part, because as we are building compliance executives, that's where these seven elements come into place to make sure that people can go from here to here. That's the how in the compliance realm versus just we know kind of where people fall. I think as we look at this, I'm going to talk about it a little bit more because I think it's relevant in the big scheme of things of how we do build compliance executives and how compliance executives need to be at that level. First, he starts off at the basic level. It kind of looks like a triangle. It doesn't really matter how you look at it, but it kind of funnels up because the majority of people are at the bottom level here and they can progress. They can build on each other. They can also just stay there. But to be the greatest of all time, the GOAT, if you will, it's got to be the highest level. The first one is a highly capable individual. We see these all the time in leadership. People get promoted to lead their departments, to be a VP, or to be some sort of management level individual, and they are highly competent. That means that they have talent, they have knowledge, they have skills, they have great work habits, they get things done, right? They're highly capable individuals. The next level, which is a little bit fewer of that, is they take all that information, that talent, that skill, that knowledge, and then they make it to a contributing team member. That's the next title. And what that means is you're taking all those skills and knowledges, and now you're actually putting it to use with a group. How you're measuring group objectives, you're able to meet criteria, you're able to get things done, and you work well in teams. That's the second level. That's fine. A lot of people can function there. But the third level is up into this competent manager. All of a sudden, you're using all these skills, and now you're competent in what you do. This is about where people in the compliance realm generally land. They land in this competent manager. They have the skills, they can lead a team, they can put everything together, and they work really well in groups. They become this competent manager where they're able to look at people, they're able to look at resources, and they're able to achieve some sort of predetermined objective. I have my seven elements. I have to implement the compliance program. I have to do all of these things. And they do it in a competent manner. That's about where most compliance officers, in my opinion, top out. They hit this level. The next level up is the effective leader. So you're taking it from being competent to now you're being effective, where you're looking at clear and compelling vision on not only the compliance program, but the company, and you use performance standards to get there. You're committed to this pursuit. You're committed to this pursuit of improving and increasing your performance standards to be the highest level. So now you are an effective leader. And what's ironic is Jim Collins talks about the highest levels of leadership. And these are the individuals who took a company from good to great. And he's just flat out names them as an executive. And I believe that wholeheartedly. I think we use the term executive a little bit loosely within an organization and assign executive titles to a lot of different individuals who may not quite be an executive. There's a reason it's called chief executive officer, and no one really has the executive in their true title of their name. So there's a reason that the highest levels, making yourself from good to great, whether it's a business or yourself, is that executive level. They are really looking at enduring greatness through personal humility and professional will. And those are two things that are defined within Jim's book. We use those as explainers in each one of our elements. They have to meet one of these two things, either personal humility or professional will. Great book. I believe that it is transformational when it comes to being a leader. I think every leader should have read it if they haven't done so already. Ultimately, when you're looking at how to be the best of the best when it comes to being an executive and managing a compliance program, that is really going to be the defining aspect of it. Let's dive into the seven elements of a compliance executive. First, it starts off with leading. This is where your compliance executive inspires teams, sets strategic goals, and really understands how to navigate complex challenges. They understand how to make decisions, critically think, and manage a team. If you can do that, that's where we need to start developing the compliance executive into that level. This falls into personal humility, where the individual is going to channel all of their ambition into the company and/or the compliance program and not into themselves. It's not set up for self-achievement. It's so set up for the better good of the organization and of the compliance program. They will often set up their successors for greatness and not want them to fail. If you haven't put a succession plan in place as a compliance executive, that's part of being a leader and leading within the organization. Next one is standardizing. This is really where you are putting in processes, frameworks, and guardrails so that the compliance program and the company in and of itself know what they need to do. And this will help identify areas of improvement, and it will help put in controls to make sure that there are no violations of policies and procedures or put the company in some sort of risk factor that they shouldn't be in. When a compliance executive starts standardizing their processes and their procedures, they become to this highest level of the organization where they're really dealing with professional will. This means that they are setting standards for how we're going to build the compliance program. Those standards are easily understood and they're easily put into place. This episode of the Compliance Leadership Lounge is brought to you by Ronan Healthcare Consultants. At Ronan Healthcare Consultants, we believe in transforming healthcare compliance from a checkbox attitude to a strategic advantage. With decades of expertise, our team of consultants provides innovative solutions tailored to your organization's unique needs. We don't just help you meet your standards, we elevate your business, ensuring ethical practices are at the heart of what you do. Whether you're navigating complex regulations or seeking to enhance your compliance strategy, Ronan Healthcare Consultants is your partner in achieving excellence in healthcare compliance. Ronan Healthcare Consultants, redefining compliance, empowering leadership. Visit us at www.ronanhc.com to learn more. Now back to the show. The next one is educating. And this is having the knowledge, skills, ability, problem solving, career advancement opportunities, and ethical foundations and standards to be able to perform their job and have conversations at the highest levels of both the organization and with their colleagues. They really do understand problem solving skills. They can understand an issue. They can work through it in a very fast pace. And they're always wanting to use that information in betterment of the organization to comply, to drive excellence within the organization. This falls in the realm, again, of personal humility. A compliance executive will always be modest and never boastful. As Jim indicates in his book, they can be charismatic, and there's a lot of CEOs or leaders who took their companies from good to great who are very charismatic, but they're not conceited, they're not all about themselves, and they're not boastful. So you're never boastful, you're very modest about what you're doing, and that's where a compliance executive really can shine. The fourth one is communicating. This is how we're actually talking to individuals, especially CEOs and boards, about delivering a concise compliance message and delivering relevant, impactful presentations to both CEOs, to boards, asking CEOs, asking them what they want to hear. What do you want to hear from me? How can I give you the information that is really important for you to make those high-level decisions? In what manner do you hear it the best? The CEOs and the boards that are listening to this, I would challenge you to ask your compliance officers, especially your chief compliance officers, how do you intend on communicating with me? How are you intending on letting me know what those issues are that are concerning me, that keep me up at night? Are you telling me things that are not relevant? Are you telling me things that are relevant? Tell me where I need to put my energy to be able to lead this organization down the straight and narrow path. We as compliance executives will never get there if we don't know how to communicate and know what the expectations are from that standpoint. This falls in the realm of professional humility. When communicating, you're really looking out the window and giving credit to those that are outside. You're looking to other to give credit. You're communicating. You're using others to give credit, external factors, as well as good luck. That's what this defined as humility. If you can communicate to individuals and looking outward at the window and finding who made this thing successful and how are we going to communicate it in the right way is imperative to show that you have these ability to discuss the high level matters. I remember when, you know, lots of board meetings that I've sat through and I've had discussions with board members, and a lot of them will say a couple of different things. One, hey, great job. You had this issue overturned. You had this repayment gone away, or you had this investigation that was won. How did you do it? What happened? What'd you guys do? Most of the time, my response comes in the lines of, look, we can't do anything in the compliance department without the commitment of the organization, operations, and the support of the executive team. They do all the work. We just advise and guide and tell them what they can and can't do and help them down the road and be the strategic partner. But most of the time, the operational units, the CEOs, and the other support departments are the individuals who are doing the thing. Communicating that as a message to the organization will help bring that compliance executive to a higher level because they are giving credit on the outside and they're able to communicate that in a way that shows solidarity, it shows growth, and it shows exact commitment to the organization. Fifth one is monitoring. This is really taking a look inside of yourself. How are you self-aware? How are you handling stress as a compliance executive? Who is your role model? Do you have role models? Do you align with the organization's goals and your own personal development goals? How are you continually improving yourself to be at the highest levels? And that's with certifications, education, listening to operations. I find it imperative that compliance executives understand the business. If you don't understand the business, then you don't know what you're talking about, and it's hard to communicate with the business if you don't know the business. So personally looking in at yourself, professionally looking in at yourself as a compliance executive will always get you to the highest levels. This falls into professional will again, where it really looks at you need to look in the mirror when assigning failures. If you start pointing to others about failures, external factors, or just saying, hey, it was bad luck, then that does not meet the definition here of what it needs to be from a monitoring perspective. You should be looking in the mirror. Compliance executives should be looking, any executive should be looking in the mirror and figuring out what my part in this was, whether I didn't communicate effectively, whether I didn't take action, whether I was not concise, whatever it may be. Really looking in the mirror and monitoring yourself is a compliance executive key. Number six, responding. This is how you're actually responding to issues that come up within the organization. It's a mindset that's needed to respond to crisis, and it comes in the form of communication challenges, ethical dilemmas, you have stakeholder interactions. How are you going to respond in a moment of crisis? This comes in the form of personal humility. A compliance executive will be calm, quiet, and motivated by using the standards that they've put into place and the other element, and they're able to manage it without having crisis mode. A very calm, cool, collected way of handling things will build a culture of responsiveness and accountability no matter what happens. As a board, as a CEO, we want to see those kind of reactions in very stressful circumstances. The last thing that we want to do is see an individual crumble when there is a crisis. In compliance, there's always going to be some crisis one way or another. The last one is enforcing. How do you enforce the standards and the issues that are going on within the organization, and how do you make sure that the employees understand what happens when there's a violation or there's issue with your non-compliance with code of conduct or policies and procedures? Building that ability to enforce those standards without running around like a hammer looking for a nail is an executive level skill. How do you make people understand what they need to do or need not do in a situation where it doesn't look like they're always being chastised or getting in trouble? This falls under the professional will standpoint as well. And this is when a compliance officer or a compliance executive is to achieve long-term goals for the compliance program and the company, no matter how hard it is, no matter how hard the communication is for the enforcement action, or no matter how much you don't want to have a conversation with this individual, with the board, with the CEO. I understand it's difficult. We deal with difficult things in the compliance realm, but a compliance executive will have that conversation because it's a hard conversation to have. Those are the seven elements of a compliance executive. We teach this in our mentorship program so that the compliance officer, chief compliance officer, can be that compliance executive where they can build trust within their CEOs and their board of directors and be able to have a very robust relationship and conversations. If you like what I had to say, please send me a note. Plus, if there's anything that I've left out, if something resonated with you, I'd love to hear about it. Let me know if you've read Jim Collins' book, Good to Great. I highly recommend it. It's 20 years old. It's been around for a long time. As we start developing the compliance executives in the United States, I really feel like we're going to take the profession from here to there. And I'd love to hear any feedback, especially by boards and CEOs and those chief compliance officers who it resonates with and what you're looking for. If I'm off the mark on something, let me know that too. And I'd love to hear about it. Appreciate it and leave some feedback. Thank you for spending your time with us in the Compliance Leadership Lounge. I'm Ross Ronan, and it's been an honor to host today's insightful discussion. If you've enjoyed our conversation, please subscribe, leave a review, and share this podcast with your network. Your engagement helps us continue to bring in-depth and influential content in the world of healthcare compliance. Stay tuned for our next episode, where we further explore the leadership dynamics and compliance. Until then, remember, effective compliance is about leading with integrity, and leadership is about making a difference.